best way to get you going. This is Breakfast Beat with Ghulam Fakir and Sabira Sheikh Essop. Only on The Voice of the Cape.
It's gotten 7:32. This is Breakfast. Welcome to it. My name is Ghulam Fakir. With me, Sabira Sheikh Essop. We're with you until 9 o'clock this morning, inshallah. Now, and into our next feature, at least, as time now moves on to 7:33. The police minister, Bekicele, has set up a steering committee to deal with the protection rackets in Cape Town. He briefed the media yesterday afternoon, along with community MEC Albert Fitz and Safety and Security Mako member JP Smith. This follows several media reports about Cape Town businesses, including restaurants and coffee shops, being extorted by criminals demanding protection money. Now, you'd remember that last year, we also spoke to a journalist, Karen Dolly. She's the author of the book, The Enforcers Inside Cape Town's Deadly Nightclub. She joins us online as we unpack just a little bit about this year in Cape Town this morning. Karen, good morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
There's no surprise why it is that we decided to speak to you. I mean, you've had first-time accounts. You know, you've been sitting in courtrooms, as we spoken about earlier or last year sometime at the time of the release of your book. But let's look at the steering committee, you know, the establishment thereof. It clearly creates an indication, you know, that things have become quite intense in, you know, for businesses in the CBD.
Indeed, it does create that impression, but at the same time, given all the other reports of what has happened under lockdown with regards to organized crime, it shouldn't come as a surprise that these claims have surfaced now.
Mm. And, I mean, obviously, I mean, you came out with your book. It was something, like you say, it shouldn't come as a surprise because it's something that's been happening for a good couple of years already. But there's also quite a lot of cynicism, you know, in response to Minister Bekicele's press briefing yesterday, with many people saying that the steering committee will just, you know, it will be a build-up to nothing because corruption, you know, is rife within the police.
Indeed, corruption's embedded, and one of the things that my book focuses on and a theme that has come out strongly during the court cases I've sat through, which focus on similar allegations of extortion, is infighting within the police. And it's very interesting. I mean, if you look at the steering committee, Bekicele is representing National Police, which is ANC, and there's intense infighting within the ANC, as we well know. Then you've got the Western Cape government, which is the DA, and there's intense infighting within the DA, as we well know. And then you've got the police aspect, and there's infighting within police. So we've got these three tiers. There's lots of infighting within each. They're joining forces. And at the same time, the underworld undoubtedly has tentacles in each one of these tiers.
Yeah.
So it's a very cynical lens to see it through, and we can only hope that these factions and divisions within these tiers don't affect the purported steering committee.
Because ultimately those you know, tiers that you were talking about, they should come out as a united front.
Exactly. And what we're seeing now on the face of it is that they are coming out as a united front. But the reality, we will have to wait and see.
Let's wait and see. But, you know, how far back, you know, does the prevalence of protection rackets go in Cape Town?
Well, that's the infuriating part. Infuriating in the sense that these rackets have been around since the early 90s. So it's not the first time we're hearing these claims / allegations. It's not the first time we're seeing police clamping down. I mean, it's a cycle. It's an ongoing cycle. So it almost feels like the steering committee is a bit of a plaster on this absolutely massive decades-old wound.
And it's, you know, you mentioned earlier, it goes back, you know, to the 1990s. And over the years, you know, we've seen that, you know, significant security initiatives have been taken by, you know, by many role players in the CBD over the past few years. And then it begs the question as to why protection rackets are still being able to flourish.
Absolutely. And one of the things that has come out strongly through court cases, court papers, etc., and I refer to court papers and cases to imply or show that it's not me myself, but there have been constant claims of collusion within the state supporting these rackets, or rogue intelligence operatives worming their way in, and police officers. And we've had these claims since the 90s. And perhaps that is the sort of crux of it that can't be broken. We've got the state fighting the state.
And I mean, I was reading about 2 nights ago something with regards to, or last night, you know, with regards to this, and there was actually one or two businesses that have actually packed up before the lockdown. So you can't even say that, you know, this rackets have been happening, you know, during the lockdown, because this person packed up and left before the lockdown, went back home to wherever he came from because he was being extorted, you know. Who do you think are the most vulnerable to this form of extortion?
I would say small businesses. Especially when you don't have sort of, or if you aren't part of a big conglomerate of businesses, if you don't have the money to hire your own, I don't want to say private security because that's what the book is about, but if you aren't able to secure your own business, I would say you are vulnerable.
I was saying, when you talk about small businesses, we're talking your coffee shops, we're talking your bookshops, you know, these are the targets?
Absolutely. We're talking not just nightclubs or not just the establishments that have historically been targeted. From what I understand, these extortionists or alleged extortionists have branched out. This was actually the case in 2018-2019, or the case presented by the state that they were targeting restaurants and not necessarily just nightclubs. So, yeah.
Now, does this phenomenon sort of reflect a deficiency in state capacity as well and policing, you know, to fight the criminal underworld? That's something that we've been hearing quite often, actually, about criminal underworld.
Well, that's sort of the murk of this matter, in that there are constant allegations of cop involvement within the underworld. So like I said earlier, it does sound that the state is fighting the state, or elements within the state are fighting each other.
Yeah.
So absolutely, if those allegations and counterclaims are true, then what you say is correct. It boils down to corruption within the state and therefore weakening policing considerably.
Now, Karen, you mentioned earlier that, you know, we've got these three tiers of government, both national, which is ANC, there's infighting there, the DA, you know, there's infighting there, then also in local government, there's also infighting, and it's, you know, they're appearing to be a united front when you look at the likes of Security Maker member JP Smith, Albert Fritz, obviously MEC for Safety and Security, and, you know, Minister Becky Cele. So, all three, these tiers, sort of needs to be held accountable. And I think that we need to keep a very close eye on this and start asking the hard questions 2 or 3 months down the line.
Absolutely. And things we should consider is who has access to the CCTV cameras in city centre. Why was this not picked up earlier? Was it picked up earlier? What was done back then already? I think as much as we look forward, we perhaps have to be a little retrospective. Because that could help us understand the path going forward.
There we go. We're going to have to leave it there. Karen Dolly, she's a journalist and author of the book The Enforcers, Inside Cape Town's Deadly Nightclub Battle, speaking to us about the plan of action to deal with protection rackets in Cape Town.